joining us. We'll be getting started in about 2 minutes. Good afternoon to those just joining us. We'll be getting started in about 1 minute. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission special meeting today, Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022 at 12 p.m. This commission meeting will be led by Tyler Joseph, our Director of Policy, in discussion for our municipal lobbying ordinance. And Tyler, you will hear a recording prompt and we may begin.
This meeting is being recorded.
All right, thank you very much. Welcome everybody. My name is Tyler Joseph. I am the policy director with the Ethics Commission. This is an interested persons meeting for a set of proposed changes to the city's municipal lobbying ordinance. And pursuant to state law and the governor's executive order, this meeting is being held and made accessible electronically. I'm going to read out the information necessary to participate in this meeting, which I will read twice. But if you have any issues with any of this information, all of it is available in the meeting agenda on our website, which is ethics.lacity.org. So to hear the live audio for this meeting, you'll dial 213-621-2489. Again, that's 213-621-2489. When we reach the public comment period, if you'd like to participate, please dial 669-254-5252. One more time, for public comment, you will need to dial 669-254-5252. At that point, you will enter the meeting ID number. That is 161-776-4780, followed by the pound sign. Again, that's 161-778-4780, followed by the pound sign. When you are prompted again for a participant ID, you'll press pound. Once you're admitted to the meeting, you'll dial *9 to request to speak, and then we will move down the list until everyone has had a chance to speak. Again, I know that's a lot of numbers, so all of this information is available on the agenda on our website, which is ethics.lacity.org. Once we get into public comment, each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak, but we'll be flexible with that, and we'll allow for multiple comments if anybody would like to speak again. And now I'm going to hand this off to our lobbying subcommittee members who have done great work on this so far. This is Commission President Melinda Murray and Vice President Jeff Darr.
Thank you, everyone, for attending this. I'm going to turn it over to my co-chair, Vice President Jeff Darr. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Murray. So I believe people probably understand what we're doing today, but let me just briefly make sure it's clear. So the Ethics Commission formed a subcommittee some time ago, comprised of myself and Commissioner Murray, the two of us, and we've been charged with further exploring possible amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance, getting public comment on them, and basically then making recommendations as the subcommittee sees appropriate to the Ethics Commission for consideration. The end goal of all of this is that we're hoping that the Ethics Commission will submit to the City Council proposed amendments to municipal lobbying ordinance. So today's interested person meeting is not the first that we have held on this subject. However, it is the first we've held based on a current draft, which was provided with the agenda for today, of currently being considered by the subcommittee amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance. When we previously had very helpful, I believe there were three of them, interested person meetings, we were going from the existing lobbying ordinance and a previously approved and sent to City Council 2.5 plus years or so ago, proposed amendments which never had further action on them. So today we have specific amendments that the subcommittee is considering, particularly wants further public comment on and interested persons comment. We really do want your input. We prefer to have them in writing because then it makes it even easier for everybody to have them. So we want them orally and in writing, and preferably at least in writing. And there's a portal for doing that that has been sent out several times to people and is available on the website. We really want everyone's input, and we're looking forward to our subcommittee with everyone's input collectively being able to make recommendations to the Ethics Commission, and that way we can have a chance to really work on this in a more work committee type level than we ever would at a full Ethics Commission meeting, where there would be more difficulty in the time to do the ability to really work through the specifics of possible amendments. So that's my part, but I just really thank everyone who's participating. We've received a number of written comments. We appreciate those and continue to request them as we, as the subcommittee, go through this. And I, from my end, I do believe that our current draft amendments from the subcommittee are a very good starting point for getting this to the Ethics Commission, and hopefully that's commissioned to submit things to the City Council. Anything further from you, Commissioner Murray? All right. So with that, thank you, everybody. We really look forward to hearing public comment. Commissioner Murray and I may have questions for some of you. We're really interested in making this a, you know, a collective process, and we really want to make sure that if people have comments, input, that it's being considered, and we really welcome it. So thank you, and we look forward to hearing from everyone today.
Thank you, Vice President Dar. Tyler, we may continue.
All right, thank you very much. So at this point, we will just move directly into public comment. Eric, if you'd like to set up the timer for that, we can just start moving down the list until everyone has had a chance to speak. And as I mentioned, if your time runs out, we will be flexible, but if you've got more to say, we're certainly flexible at the end of this meeting too. If you'd like to speak again, please just raise your hand again and we'll get started at the top of the list.
Thank you, Tyler. As mentioned, we are in the public comment period. We are giving 3 minutes per participant. Please press *9 to raise your hand so that we may access your public comment, and you will be prompted to unmute. And to unmute, you will press *6. I emphasize, please stay on the topic of the possible amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance. Caller ending in 404, you'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Great. And you have 3 minutes.
My name is Danny York. I'm on the Reseda Neighborhood Council, but I am speaking as an individual. First of all, I want to really thank the commission. I spoke at one of the previous regular meetings about the needs for changes to the municipal lobbying ordinance regarding neighborhood councils. And I'm really, really, really just thrilled to see that the commission heard us and took that seriously. The changes on 48.02 B and F, and also the changes of what used to be 48.08.8 to 48.11, are exactly what we need. So I'm really just thrilled to see that a body of the city has really taken our voices into consideration and heard us. As I've reiterated before, neighborhood council members, we don't receive training on the ethics database. It's not something that's part of, you know, the things that they introduce us to. We're regular people who want to serve our neighborhoods, and we want to act in good faith as advisory bodies to the city. But we're often asked to weigh in on complex issues, particularly land use issues comes up a lot, or bills that have a tremendous amount of lobbying money behind them. And the reason that I got sort of on this kick is that I had noticed among neighborhood council meetings that there was a trend where there were people that I recognized as being lobbyists or that I then later Googled and saw were lobbyists were not identifying themselves clearly as lobbyists. And in fact, I believe we're actually often misrepresenting themselves. And to sort of drive this point home, there was a March 17th, I believe it was, there was a meeting of the North Hills West Neighborhood Council. And they were discussing whether or not to support or oppose this fire district 1 expansion. And there was a lobbyist there, and he spoke, and never once did he identify himself. I'm sorry? Never once did he identify himself as a lobbyist. And so I'd like to play just very briefly, because I had to use my public comment to identify himself as a lobbyist, and I just would like the commission to hear the reaction of this neighborhood council to this information and just to see what we go through.
Thank you.
And that's fair enough. Seth, in the interest of time, you've already spoken once, and
right. And
you are evidently, you're a lobbyist. Are you a paid lobbyist, Seth?
I am a paid lobbyist, and I did identify that I worked for Build with Shane. And,
but it sounded like right out of the gate you were saying it was churches and community organizations. It was
exactly.
Not all.
And, Sarah, and Ms. Chairman did, and I'm happy to send you a list of the members of Build the Chain, and you're more than welcome to just Build the Chain the members, and if they are
Thank you. For the next caller, ending in 838, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hi, my name is Michelle Gallagher. I'm also on the Receiving Neighborhood Council, also speaking for myself. So I've taken a look at this proposal. This is something that I've mentioned a couple times at a couple different meetings. That the neighborhood councils need to be included in this, in everything to do with lobbyist disclosure. I was really delighted to see not just that, the advance in consideration for neighborhood councils not having to, put in so much time and try to figure out who everybody is and if they're a lobbyist, but also just the brilliant writing in this. I mean, somebody did a great job putting this together, making everything more concise, easy to understand, simple, and broad based. So I think this is going to be a very effective starting point, and I just really appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. I also wanted to mention that the video that Jamie York was just playing, it was cut off, but the lobbyist in that particular exchange goes on to deny the amount of money that they were paid, even though it's a matter of public record. So it's a matter of public record. So I mean, just blatantly lying about their status as a lobbyist, about whether they lied about their status as a lobbyist, about the amount of money they're paid, even though all those things can be found out with the public information, just because, they can, and we're the neighborhood council, so who cares? So I think it's really disrespectful, and so I'm very, very happy to see this be the new starting point of an idea, and actually, I just love the document as it is. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and apologies to the previous caller. You will get a chance to play that recording once again as we go down the line of participants with their hands raised. Participant ending in 994, you will be prompted to unmute. Please press *6 to unmute. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Sean McMorris. I'm with California Common Cause. We will be submitting more thorough written comments later before the next commission meeting. In general, we're supportive of most of what we see in the amendment, so I'm not going to go through everything we like. I just wanted to point out some things that we had some questions about and wanted to seek clarity on. So hopefully we can get some clarity there. First, in the definition of compensation, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the sentence includes bonuses and contingencies regardless of whether payment is ultimately received. This would plug a loophole that was recently reported in the Sacramento Bee, at least about state law, lobbying law, where they call them secret bounties in the article, where lobbyists who say essentially sign a contract that they won't get paid X amount of money unless a certain outcome is achieved. Therefore, they're not reporting their lobbying activity because they're not actually getting paid yet. I'm hoping that this covers that. If so, that's great. But if you could clarify, that would be good. The other question I had is, I noticed in the enforcement section, in the previous draft of these amendments, I think you had, or at least you were considering, allowing for civil action to be taken by the Ethics Commission or a resident of the city, and that's not in this draft, and I'm just wondering why. It's pretty common practice. It's in the Political Reform Act. It's in the city's other ethics laws, and I think it's a really good check and deterrent if the Ethics Commission or a resident is also allowed to bring a civil action if the city attorney decides not to. So if you could answer why that's not in there, I'd appreciate that. And then the last question I had was, you're removing the section 4810 Ethics Commission reports. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but if these are the reports that the commission provides in their agendas at the end of each quarter for the public to view, it's like a summary of the lobbying activity. We would recommend not removing that. Those reports are very helpful to the public, and they're well summarized and easily accessible. I know you put them on the website too. So, if that section is referring to that, we would recommend not removing that. In general, though, we want to thank you for all your work on this, and we're supportive of most of the amendments thus far, and we'll be submitting further written comments for your review. We want to thank you for your time, and hopefully those questions can be answered. Thank you.
Sure. And before we end with you, this is Commissioner Dar. I believe, and we really want your written comments, and we appreciate the three items in particular you identified today. I will just briefly comment on the report, we'll be able to look at this better when we get your written comments, but we're actually, the practice has been to provide much more frequent reports than what the ordinance requires, so we're trying to not limit the reports as they currently are in theory, and we're making them more comport to what happens, which is frequent reports anyways. With regard to civil enforcement, please send us further comments on that. And then with regard to the compensation definition in 4801A, I believe, if you don't believe what we provided plugs, what you believe is a loophole, please let us know, alternative language, that type of thing would be perfect in a written comment, but we appreciate Common Cause participating and look forward to getting more detailed comments.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sean, this is David.
Yes.
With the Ethics Commission. Just to clarify on those, the quarterly reports that we provide as part of the commission meetings, those will continue. This does not speak to those reports. And in fact, we have made some changes to those reports that will include graphs and charts to more better help people understand what those numbers mean, beginning with our April commission meeting. So rest assured, that information will continue.
Oh, thanks very much.
And Sean, just really quickly before we move on, this is Tyler Joseph. Hope you're doing well. I just wanted to say regarding the loophole for those payments, yes, that is our intention, that it would close that loophole as it relates to contingency fees. But as Commissioner Dar mentioned, if there's anything that you'd like to see tweaked, we would love to see that in written comment also.
Thank you. participant's number ending in 079, you will be prompted to unmute.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. In looking over your forms, I was wondering, my name is Sam Williams, employee number 794671 from Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. I'm also a citizen, a taxpayer, a ratepayer. And when looking at the enforcement section of your forms, everything seems to be a misdemeanor. And I'm wondering, is this because everybody in the city are friends? If we're enforcing people doing wrong, look at the administration manual and look what they do to citizens when you do things wrong. Enforcement means consequences. There should be felonies, not misdemeanors. People should not be able to come back if they're...
As a reminder for all participants, please stay on the topic of possible amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance. Caller 079, you'll be prompted to unmute. You have 2 minutes and 30 seconds remaining. Please stay on topic of the possible amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance.
Well, again, thank you, City Council, or commissioners, whoever you are. According to the amendments, they're all bullshit. Do your right.
Thank you, caller. We'll be moving on to the next caller. Caller ending in 073, you'll be prompted to unmute. Please press star 6 to unmute. You are unmuted.
Hello, my name is Cynthia Strathman. I'm the Executive Director of Strategic Actions for a Just Economy, or SAGE. We're a 501c3 operating in South Los Angeles. We do grassroots work among extremely low-income tenants. We provide direct services, predominantly at this point, but also help train residents to advocate for, on their own behalf with the city. Overall, we support the amendments that have been proposed. I have no issue with not having any activities that we're undertaking on our own behalf excluded from the exemptions. That only seems reasonable. We would like a clarification on Section 4803. The passage reads, this exemption also applies to the organization's employees and board members while providing the organization's core services. We think that should be changed to while engaged in official duties. The next sentence is, this exemption does not apply to an attempt by the organization or its employees or board members to influence a city matter or a city decision regarding funding, a contract, or a permit for the organization, comma, a contract, a permit, or legislation. We feel that should be amended to say just a contract or a permit for the organization, and have the a contract or permit or legislation omitted at the end of that sentence, because that at that point is so broad, it's really not an exemption at all, and it doesn't seem to speak to the spirit of the passage. So while we really don't think there should be an exemption for contracts or permits pertaining to ourselves, I think other matters should not be included in that. Thank you very much.
This is Commissioner Dar. Would you mind, if you haven't already, submit that proposed specific language change or question or proposed language or the specific part you think needs to be revised in the portal for written comments so that it doesn't, that we have it to focus on. That would be helpful. Thank
you.
Oh,
okay. I did submit a letter, but I'll try and get it in the portal.
Okay. If you submit a letter, assuming that it was received, we should get that. And that, I don't want to have you do extra more things more than once. So that wasn't my intent. I just haven't seen the letter yet. So let me ask on staff if we know at this moment if such letter has been received, or if we're not sure, that's fine. But my intent wasn't to ask you to do multiple things. So.
Oh yeah, I'll look. No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Caller ending in 500, you will be prompted to unmute.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Michael Shear. I've been a resident of Los Angeles for over 20 years, and I currently serve on the executive board and as the elected controller of the Miracle Mile Democratic Club, although I am here speaking on my own behalf. I first want to thank the Ethics Commission for the transparency you bring to city politics, and I really appreciate many of the proposed changes in this ethics ordinance. However, I am concerned that the city's ethics ordinance still contains a big loophole that allows registered city lobbyists to host fundraisers for elected officials and the candidates they're paid to influence. This practice is banned in California for statewide officials and candidates, and I believe the city's ethics rules should be updated to be in line with the state's rules. I mean, I know recently a member of the city council who's running for citywide office held a fundraiser hosted by 5 different registered lobbyists, and I think in the name of fairness, transparency, and good governance, the city of Los Angeles should put an end to this practice, and that this commission should add language to your proposed changes to ban lobbyists from hosting fundraisers for city officials and candidates. And I'll submit a version of this statement in writing as well. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just briefly before the next comment, I did want to confirm for Commissioner Dar that we did receive that letter from SAGE, and we will get everything packaged up so that all of the commissioners have access to all of this material and plenty of time to read it before the meetings. But to Cynthia, yes, also to confirm for you, we have received your letter, and thank you very much for putting that in writing.
Thank you, Mr. Joseph. Mr. Dart speaking.
Thank you. Caller ending in 521, you'll be prompted to unmute. Please press *6 to unmute. Caller ending in 521. Okay, we'll try that caller again. Later, we'll go to the next caller. Caller ending in 386, you will be prompted to unmute. You are unmuted.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Gary Fordyce. I'm a council member with the North Hills West Neighborhood Council, and we had a meeting last Thursday, March 17, where a lobbyist speaking on Fire District 1 blatantly misrepresented himself, never said he was a paid lobbyist or a lobbyist at all. And there are witnesses on this call that are going to speak. This was an egregious betrayal of trust and a blatant manipulation of neighborhood councils who are advisory to the Los Angeles City Council. I have 3 amendments that I would like to propose. And by the way, this individual was extremely argumentative and defensive. You heard a recording. There were 4 times total that he popped in. He kept unmuting himself and finally had to be muted in the final phase because he just would not back off. Anyway, my 3 amendments. I would like to see language wherein neighborhood councils are notified in advance of being having a request to be placed on the agenda requiring identification that they are paid lobbyists and the organization they belong to. Secondly, I would like to see our agendas actually state that as the agenda item that this is a paid lobbyist. And thirdly, I would like that same lobbyist to be mandated to verbally declare that he is a lobbyist. We are working on a Zoom calls right now. We have many stakeholders and board members who don't do their homework, and this gives us at least 2 chances publicly and 3 chances for board members to be fully aware. And I would agree that a misdemeanor is a slap on the wrist and that there needs to be a more stringent repercussion that would deter such activity. It is important that we are advisory to the city council. And since I see us as a weak link, we're not lawyers, we're not trained in this area. And we need to know better as to what is happening so that we can do a more diligent job so that we do not impact our dear city of Los Angeles in a negative way. Thank you so very much for listening to my amendments.
Thank you. Caller ending in 521, you'll be prompted to unmute. Please press star 6 to unmute. You are unmuted.
Hello, my name is Gary Benjamin. Thank you for giving me the time. I just recently began reviewing the proposed amendment, but essentially where I think there could be some additional clarification is within some of the discussion of what qualifies as a city matter. I know that it states that it's any matter that involves discretion, and then there are some exemptions that are stated, and for instance, a request for advice for interpretation of a law, regulation, or policy is excluded from that. I think it could be helpful if there was further clarification of that. The issue that I'm concerned about is now that attempting to influence also includes promoting or expediting any action on any city matter, essentially. Very often, many people who I think would not typically be considered lobbyists, such as architects, such as engineers, such as many people that are working on private projects involving the city, very often the regular course of discussion veers from simple requests for advice or interpretations, as stated here, into pushing for interpretations. And, a lot of that is just in that in many cases, the architects or the engineers may actually have greater familiarity with the codes and regulations than the actual city agency staff does. Often it is necessary to advocate for a correct interpretation of something. And very often that could veer into what looks like lobbying, but it's being conducted by, like I mentioned, people who are essentially like technical staff working on behalf of architecture firms, engineering firms, things like that. So my concern is just sort of the, without there being further discussion of what exactly discretion means and which decisions are subject to discretion and which are just sort of, non-discretionary, that it could be left open to a wider interpretation that could cause a lot of industries to get pulled into that are just trying to carry out, simple practical tasks that are not really about influencing policy or legislation in any way. And then additionally, the flip side of that is even if it's considered okay, well, maybe they could just err on the side of reporting that activity regardless. The way that this has been, it sort of disenfranchises them in a way, because anyone who does then qualify as an official lobbyist is not able to support candidates of their choice, things like that. So it just becomes a whole other class of professionals who their work could be perceived as discretionary. So anyway, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but that's my just general comment on sort of the need for understanding a little bit more of the nuance about what is considered a matter of discretion.
Thank you. Caller ending in 212, you'll be prompted to unmute. You are unmuted.
Good afternoon. My name is East Neighborhood Council, and we filed a community impact statement with the Ethics Commission several days ago, submitted to this group. And perhaps after I finish, you can confirm that it was received. I did not do it through the ethics, through the city clerk online, full filing community impact statements. The Northeast Neighborhood at a duly noticed and Brown Act compliant last Wednesday.
Caller, excuse me, I've paused your time. You are cutting in and out. Can you please repeat your name and who you represent?
Glenn Bailey, Northridge East Neighborhood Council President.
Okay, thank you. The time will continue.
Okay, I'm not sure how much of that you heard, but I'll just get to the... we filed a community impact statement regarding our action taken last Wednesday, which I'm going to read. The motion that we adopted is because the current municipal lobbying ordinance section 48.08.8 only requires lobbyist disclosure for written communications to neighborhood councils. The Northridge East Neighborhood Council supports an amendment to the ordinance to include the same disclosure when a lobbyist makes an oral presentation or public comment to a neighbor council that is related to their lobbying activities, period, end of motion. I've reviewed the proposed section 48.11. It's actually not just me. The whole board was provided this proposed wording when they considered this motion. And I just one addition, not part of our motion, but one suggestion to add as item letter C that states the above two provisions shall be included in on the neighborhood council agenda. So letters A and B under the proposed 48.11 would be required to be stated on the meeting agendas for the neighborhood council. That's my suggestion there. So hopefully you heard enough of that it was understandable. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Caller ending in 208, you will be prompted to unmute.
And I'm sorry, Tyler Joseph here, just to confirm really quickly before the next caller, for Mr. Bailey, we did receive your comment and we have that all in writing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, caller 208, you will be prompted to unmute. You are unmuted.
Hi, this is Rob Kwan. I haven't been able to go through the whole thing, but there were a couple things that I wanted to flag. One was with major filers, and I don't know if there's been a significant change here in what's proposed, but, you know, just for example, in the third quarter last year, $90,000 was spent by major filers on communicating with the public about short-term rentals in the third quarter, but we don't really have any idea how that money was spent. We have, you know, a system here where if there are mass communications being sent out on the electoral side, those have to be filed with the Ethics Commission. So I just think with the you know, area of issue ads, whether it's, you know, ensuring certain language is required or transparency about who's funding them, or even just, you know, providing a log of mass communications via TV, mail, or digital ads could be something that would be helpful. But I don't think that's the biggest thing here. I mean, you know, our big concern is with direct lobbying, and I understand the you know, delicacies with the 501c3 issue. This is something that the commission spent a lot of time thinking about years back. I do have concerns that this has remained in the proposal because it just leaves a huge area for circumvention. What we've seen is that money finds a way. And I think the fact that, like, you know, we do have, you know, loopholes abound in our municipal lobbying ordinance, maybe we're not seeing the full outgrowth, but if you're setting up a window where if somebody is lobbying via a 501c3 that has a annual budget of less than $2 million, which is a lot, you know, you're leaving a whole lot of room for play. And we've seen an increasing use of astroturfing here in this area. SoCal Gas was fined for attempting to use a front group, Californians for Balanced Energy Solutions, you know, to do, you know, push their agenda. They're facing a $10 million fine for that. That was a 501c4, but, you know, if you look at the particular issue of our oil setback, when that was going through council, I was surprised to see that, you know, the main person leading that effort a few years ago, in city council at least, with advocacy, organizing constituents, was not anybody from DWP or Creed LA or the fossil fuel industry. It was this nonprofit, a 501c3 called Arms of LA, that had not, like, they had financial backing from some of these companies, but no direct agenda on, you know, oil setbacks. But they found themselves thrust in advocacy on this issue. And I just looked up, I can't even find anything about Arms of LA anymore. So I don't know what happened there. But, you know, we have a development in Lincoln Heights where somebody calling in admitted that they were being paid to testify as they were. And then we saw later on a filing, you know, $13,000 spent on community organizing and hearing participation. We just need a bit more transparency. And I think we see that, you know, on both fronts with major filers, as well as, you know, the way that astroturfing can be engaged in. And I just think $2 million is a lot. And I understand that, you know, making somebody a lobbyist is a distinct thing, but there should be some sort of alternative registration so that they are at least on the pulse of the Ethics Commission. Make it easy. They file once a year, whatever, but we need to have some level of like transparency so that our Ethics Commission has some idea of what the orbit is of the influencers there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Caller ending in 274, you will be prompted to unmute. Caller ending in 274, you are unmuted. Caller ending in 274, you are unmuted.
Good afternoon. My name is Quinn Tu, and I'm Southern California Counsel for Alliance for Justice. We are a national C3 organization, so I think it was fitting that I was randomly after the last caller. Alliance for Justice represents over 130 organizations with a broad array of groups committed to progressive values and the creation of equitable, just, and free society. And we have been involved in proposed amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance from a few years back with our local nonprofit partners. And I'm calling to echo the comments made earlier by Cynthia Stratham at SAGE. We're concerned about the proposed language in Section 4803E, and without repeating what Ms. Stratham has already laid out for the hearing today, we did submit, in addition, language in writing so that the Commission has reference to this as well. But we wanted to remind the Ethics Commission that, you know, a clear and simple C3 exemption is critical for nonprofit advocacy, which facilitates underrepresented people's participation in city government decision. So together with coalitions of local nonprofits, we spoke to the Commission about simplifying and broadening the nonprofit exemption, and we believe that what is currently proposed is very similar to that. I also wanted to point out that the current proposal makes reference to legislation, and when I was reading the red line version of the MLO, 33 of the 34 references to legislations were redlined, so our proposal includes taking legislation out of Section 4803E as well. Neither core services nor legislation are contained elsewhere in the ordinance, and they're also not defined, so removing this would help further clarify the sentence and the meaning of Section 4803E. With that, I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. And I'll be calling on the first caller ending in 404 to play the remainder of that public comment recording. caller 404. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hi. Hold on. Okay.
Yes. You are unmuted.
Okay. I'm going to click back to it 1 second. Here we go.
Community-based organization. And I was very clear about that from the get-go. Secondly, the speaker was incorrect in that we've been paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. That is totally incorrect. And I would ask that the neighborhood council do their due diligence on that.
So this goes on, but what I wanted to say is that it's a matter of public record that their organization was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, or their lobbying organization, because I looked it up through the handy-dandy ethics portal that is very nice if you know what it is and how to use it. So I also really appreciate that the Ethics Commission made it, that the neighborhood councils were elevated so that essentially they're not allowed to misrepresent themselves to us, because to me, that was a misrepresentation. And this is the second time in a month that I've been alerted to a lobbyist showing up at a neighborhood council meeting and not identifying themselves clearly as a lobbyist at all. And it's only because other people have reached out to me because they know how passionate I am on this subject, where they said, hey, can you check if this person is a lobbyist? But obviously texting me is not a systemic solution. So I'm really happy to that the Ethics Commission has taken this so seriously and really revised the language to make it so that we're getting the sort of disclosure that we deserve, and that the onus is on the lobbyist, not on the volunteer neighborhood council members. And just one other comment that I wanted to say is regarding the 48.03 for nonprofits. I actually think $2 million is quite a lot of an operating budget. And I do think that there needs to be, at a minimum, even for 501c3, some kind of disclosure, because money does always find a way in this city, and we deserve the ability to know how that money is being utilized and to be able to have a transparent relationship with following it. So thank you again for everything that you've done and for really listening to the voices of neighborhood council members on this issue. I really, truly appreciate it. Oh, and also, there have been statements filed in favor by the Reseda Neighborhood Council, the Mid-City Neighborhood Council, the Northridge East Neighborhood Council, and the LA Alliance of Neighborhood Councils as well. So there's a broad support that is growing around this issue, because multiple neighborhood councils have recognized that lobbyists are not representing themselves truthfully when speaking to us in some of our meetings. So thank you again.
Jamie, this is David with the Ethics Commission. I had a quick question for you. One of the things we're currently working on is putting together informational material and possibly videos on showing people how to use some of the tools on our site, like the lobbying information and campaign information. What kind of tools do you think the neighborhood councils would find more useful? Would it be instructions and a brochure, videos, or live, sessions where we would walk people through understanding how they can easily obtain all the information that we have on our site?
Honestly, all of the above, because different people process information in different ways. I'm really glad to hear that you're thinking about doing that, because that was something that I was thinking about even just doing myself, like screen recording and walking people through how to do it. And it's actually something that I've taught other neighborhood council members how to do. But I think that because people process information differently, having a video that just literally shows you doing a search within the lobbying data portal, or having a live like Q&A is also really good. Having written instruction or like a flyer, also really good, because given that, we're all remarkably different people and everybody has remarkably different learning styles, when you approach it broadly, it really allows people to have more information. And I'm fortunate that I already knew about the lobbying database before being a neighborhood council member, but my understanding and my feeling just from talking to a lot of other neighborhood council members is that the majority are not aware that these resources exist. And again, it's not something that we're really given training on in terms of how to find some of this information. And even I, who I consider myself fairly adept at navigating these things, I am still sometimes surprised by the things that I discover or find when I'm going down a rabbit hole on items that I'm interested in. So there's always, I think, room for growth for neighborhood council members to learn. And I think that this is something that could be done coordinating through the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, maybe like a joint town hall, but also, yes, definitely having videos that like physically walk people through how to search for various things, and then having those videos living in perpetuity with like a screenshot with a voiceover would be a super, super, super helpful resource.
That's exactly what we're thinking of. We put together some paper materials, but we wanted to, we were going to release some of this in phases with those first, but also working together on videos so people can walk through those. So thank you so much for that information.
Yeah, and I'd say things that I've personally used is looking up lobbying clients, looking up lobbyists themselves, looking up lobbying activity. I think the lobbying activity could be a little bit, that's still probably the one that I find like the hardest to navigate, because sometimes it can be broader than the particular topic. So if you're not searching for a topic in a particular way, it can be a little bit hard to find. It's still a really useful resource, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you have to kind of know what you're looking for in order to find it, which is why I also think that this disclosure is really important, because then if you want to look up lobbying activity by the name of the lobbyist or by the name of the client, it's a lot easier to find that lobbying activity registered on the site. And I've also been, I really like the Behesta donation tool, because I always think it's really interesting to see what our council members are requesting from lobbyists and from other entities, and then seeing where that money is going. I think that's something that I have found very interesting and used in the past. And there's such a wealth of information that, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And that's, for me, being on the neighborhood council, one of my goals is to increase transparency and access to information for citizens across the city of LA, so that we can all be more empowered with how we approach our interactions with the city.
Great. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And thank you again for the updates. I really, really do appreciate them.
Thank you. Caller ending in 212, you will be prompted to unmute.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Glenn. Hopefully you got enough of what I said earlier, but I had a feeling
apologize, caller. You are cutting in and out. I will prompt you to unmute again.
Okay. I'll make this brief but slow, at least in case that helps reception. I just want to let you know that tonight the Encino Neighborhood Council is considering a motion with regards to the section dealing with neighborhood councils. Number two, it's also the North Hills West Neighborhood Council meeting of last Thursday, and I'm reporting for staff. I don't know if there's any existing violations that happened. That's definitely a case. Should not be allowed to repeat itself in the future in a way that that what happened there can be incorporated in the new provisions. And regarding, I think it's good to have it, because then you get.
Caller, I apologize. We're only hearing about 50% of what you're saying. You are cutting in and out. You can submit written public comment if that is easier. Unfortunately, it seems like the connection is cutting in and out. We can try one more time. You have 2 minutes remaining.
Yeah, I understand. I wish you had a local phone line or allowed us to use the Zoom connection to give our input, so we're not having to call a long-distance phone number and then have these issues with connections. Mike, last part was on the training. I think it's good to have a live training with that allows Q&A and recording of that training, because there's the question up. Thank you for allowing me the additional opportunity.
Thank you. It looks like there are no more callers, no more participants. I'm going to pass this to the subcommittee, Commissioner Murray and Vice President Dar, and after that, our Director of Policy, Tyler Joseph, will be giving more details on additional ways to give public comment. Commissioner Murray and Vice President Dar.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for participating in this forum. We really appreciate your feedback. And as my fellow commissioner said, if you have any comments that you like written, that would be really helpful to us as we make our final determinations and we bring them to our other committee members. I also want to thank Tyler Joseph and my fellow commissioner Dar for their efforts on this matter. We've been working on this for a long time. I think we're close to something that we could present to the Ethics Commission and to the City Council for approval. So again, thank everyone for their input. And I'm going to turn it over to my co-chair at this point.
Thank you, Commissioner Murray. And just wanted to thank everybody for the time today. A lot of people have obviously gone through not a short, simple ordinance. And we appreciate all the comments. We appreciate the questions, and we will be going further over this. This is not the last opportunity for public comment in the process, I can assure you, because we may or may not have another interested person meeting at the subcommittee level, but certainly whatever comes out of the subcommittee will go to the Ethics Commission, and that will be at least one more public hearing, if not more. We'll leave that to the Ethics Commission when that time comes. When this finally does, if assuming it goes to the City Council, we may need everybody to speak up at that time to make sure that the concerns of updating the lobby municipal ordinance is heard and understood by the city. I do want to ask one question because I just want to make sure my understanding is correct. I know we had two people today, and I've heard this earlier from others informally, that the misdemeanor provisions in the municipal lobbying ordinance should be made to be felonies. Am I correct, and I'm not a criminal lawyer, so am I correct that for a city ordinance, the penalty would be a misdemeanor or an infraction, but not a felony? A felony would be a matter of state law, and I don't know if anyone knows the answer to that, but I just thought it may be helpful just to voice that question out loud since it's come up a couple times today.
In terms of our laws, it's correct, Jeff, but in terms of a felony, that would be, it could be the county or it could be the state law. But in terms of our laws, we don't have the authority to impose criminal penalties associated with our violations.
So
that would be a felony.
Right. So City of Los Angeles ordinances cannot provide for a felony. That would be another body's laws, but
correct.
The City of Los Angeles can provide for a misdemeanor or a lesser infraction.
Correct.
I want to make sure my general understanding is correct, because it may not be.
That is correct, and in typical, at least in terms of our situations, if violations do reach a level of a felony, then that would be something that we would refer to or work with the DA's office or a federal agency on.
Okay. Thank you. I just thought that may be helpful for everyone here, because I understand the sentiment of the city ordinance providing for something more than a misdemeanor. However, if it cannot, by definition, people should be aware of that. Not to say there's not another way to maybe address it, but not by the city ordinance itself. And otherwise, for everyone who has called in, and we really do want your written comments, it makes it much easier for us. And thank you all for being part of the process, and thank you all to the staff today, and
of the Ethics Commission, because this is a, we really want to make this a process that everyone's at the table, so that this is updates that, we do our best to make reflect everyone's interests, and there's a lot of different competing interests here. So thank you, everyone.
And Commissioner, this is David with the Ethics Commission. Again, I would also like to thank you, Commissioner Dar, and Commissioner Murray for all the time that you guys have spent working on this. As volunteers that are not paid, it takes a lot of time and energy, I know, for you to spend the time that you have putting this together. So we as a staff, and I know the public, really appreciates the time and effort you have put into that. So I wanted to convey that. And also thank you to Tyler Joseph for the leadership on this, and also Heather Holt, who's been the main driver on a lot of the drafting of this language. So thank you, staff, for putting this together. We're one step closer to hopefully moving this forward. So thank you again, everyone, for the time and effort on this.
And I'm sorry to jump in here really quickly. This is Tyler Joseph, but I think we do have one more comment. We had somebody who sent me an email who said that they were having trouble accessing the public comment. I believe that this is the number ending in 501. We are going to unmute that number. If we don't have the right person, please just let us know. But I did get a heads up that somebody was trying to make a comment and wasn't able to. So we're going to give that a try really quickly.
All right. Caller ending in 501, you will be prompted to unmute.
Hi, this is Jim Sutton. Hi, this is Jim Sutton, representing the Los Angeles Lobbyist Association, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. For some reason, your system doesn't read the same three last numbers of my phone number as I know them as. So I apologize for that, and I will keep my comments very short because we do plan on following up with a more detailed letter and hope to work with Tyler on some of our questions. But the Lobbyist Association, as you know, has worked closely with the Commission and Tyler over the years on this, and we, for the most part, are very happy with this updated version of the ordinance. So I'm going to maybe reserve some of my more specific comments that I would have made and just make one kind of suggestion or recommendation. There are so many different issues raised in this ordinance. They include what should the registration thresholds be, how do you define fundraising activity, what should the exceptions be, what are the reporting requirements for lobbying firms, how do they differ from the reporting requirements for major filers, that what Heather did when she was the staffer working on this law several years ago, is she created kind of different topics and organized the public comment and the commissioner's comments around these topics as a way to kind of focus the discussion. And that was very useful when the commission considered this law however many years ago, and I kind of would suggest following that same pattern here to have a little more robust conversation that's focused on these issues. So again, the Lobbyist Association looks forward to working with the Commission on this latest version of the proposal, and we have a detailed letter that we'll follow up and send to Tyler. Thank you. Sorry again for the technical difficulty.
Thank you. We do have
this
one more.
Commissioner Dar, quick question. Do you know when the Ethics Commission will be provided with the detailed letter?
I could probably say by next week, so to make certain that all of our members can chime in on it. I might have missed, is there a schedule for the commission kind of moving forward on the lobbying law amendments?
There's nothing currently on schedule other than we're continuing to move forward. That's why I was just asking if we do want to receive.
Of course,
anybody.
Of course.
I want to make sure it's received in a timely way, so we, that's why I was asking how long it may be.
And is next week okay?
Next week will be fine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are showing one more public comment. Call in user _1. You'll be prompted to unmute.
Hello?
You are unmuted.
Hi, thank you. My name's Ruth. I'm an unhoused person involved in my neighborhood council. I'm not super familiar with all these rules and everything, so I apologize if I get off topic. I'll be short. Basically, I've only been able to get involved since it became remote, and it's been a really weird experience. Sometimes I've been able to use it for our advantage, as unhoused people, like, I got the trash cans near an encampment emptied after they were neglected.
Caller, please stay on topic in regards to possible amendments to the municipal lobbying ordinance. Your time has been paused. You'll be prompted to unmute to continue.
Hi, I'm an unhoused person, and I'm used to being silenced by these committees and stuff, and that's what I'm trying to talk about. I've been reading this amendment, and it says something about the neighborhood councils now being involved, and I think that what I'm saying is relevant. If you would please just listen to it. Our neighborhood council had given maximum neighborhood purpose grants, which are $5,000, several times to a nonprofit to maintain a public area with the landscaping and emptying the trash cans. And they slept on their responsibilities and kept the funds. And this was something they had done before. And instead of addressing that, they were trying to get the unhoused people displaced and banned from this public area. And they were happy to blame the overflowing trash cans on us, but we were not paid thousands of dollars by them to maintain them. Neighborhood councils are structured to organize and empower homeowners, renters, business owners, nonprofits, despite there already being residents associations, homeowners, chambers of commerce, et cetera. But this means they have symmetrically disempowered unhoused people who are trying to be part of their communities, even in the Neighborhood Council Homeless Committee and the city's Homeless and Poverty Committee. And they use their advisory roles to strong-arm county and city council to do literal harm to us when they could be helping us. I have countless examples of situations like this, where they use their advisory roles to trigger or expedite displacement, dispossession, and ban us from public spaces. But when I suggest ways they can help us, like keeping tents and tarps in their storage in case someone needs them, because their actions have caused me to lose everything I owned before, and that would have been helpful, or encouraging the landlords on the council to accept our housing vouchers, which is a bottleneck in our neighborhood, despite there being a very high vacancy, they act like I'm being self-serving or inappropriate in my suggestions. And they've said that I have to run for a position on the board if I want to speak for more than 1 minute, which I'm the only unhoused person trying to speak to the homeless committee. I don't think I should have to be elected to do that. Like, I'm the only one. Anyways, my email address is ruthlessruth@gmail.com if you have any advice. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, caller ending in 386, you will be prompted to unmute. Please press *6 to unmute. You are unmuted.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, this is Gary Fordyce once again with the North Hills West Neighborhood Council. I previously spoke as an individual. I again speak as an individual. I am a board member. I would like to emphasize in support of the three amendments that I asked for that we, too, are volunteers, unpaid. In our case, we are not trained. We are not properly supported by the council system. We're not even informed of the pitfalls, such as lobbyists bullying their way in and acting as authoritatively. And it puts more importance upon the three amendments I suggested. There is a significant turnover in the neighborhood council system. We have elections. Neighborhood council people come and go. Some resign and do not finish their terms. Others are possibly removed for various reasons, not too many. But with such a turnover and a lack of information and a lack of training, I really feel that the three amendments I had requested earlier are of paramount importance, because they will be first, foremost, and blatantly presented to us. And that becomes far more user-friendly and a reminder to the ever-changing volunteer environment. I realize I'm asking for a little preferential acknowledgement in behalf of neighborhood council people, but we are not professionals. We're citizens who are trying to give back to our city in our best and most meaningful capacity. But I hope you understand my plea for a little understanding that this is what neighborhood councils need. Thank you so very much for a second opportunity to speak, and thank you for what you've been doing. It's very appreciated. I don't know if there's a way to get on your email list for information on your meetings, but I would appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our public comment. We have some final comments by Director of Policy, Tyler Joseph.
Oh, this will be very brief. I just wanted to say thank you again for everyone who participated today, and especially to our subcommittee members, President Murray, Vice President Dar, for putting this together. As a reminder to everybody who called in, if you would like to give additional public comment in the future, there are a couple of different ways that you can do that. You'll have an opportunity to speak to the full commission during public comment at our April commission meeting. That is going to be April 20th at 12 p.m. You can also email written public comment to ethics.policy@lacity.org. One more time, that's ethics.policy@lacity.org. And finally, as was mentioned, we do have a dedicated page on our website with a form where you can submit written comment that way as well. As we mentioned, we'll be compiling all of these comments for our commissioners well in advance of the April meeting so that they have time to go through everything. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us via email. But again, we just want to thank you, everyone who participated very much. This is very helpful for us, and we're glad that everyone's staying involved on such a complicated issue. And thanks again.
And this is Commissioner Dar. Tyler, would you mind informing people who are on the call how to sign up for emails and notifications of interested person meetings and other items of the Ethics Commission first, and I have one other comment after that.
Yes, not a problem. So if you'd like to get on our email list, please just send me an email through the ethics.policy email account. So one more time, that's ethics.policy@lacity.org. Everyone who sends a submission that way, a request to get on the email list will be put on, and that's how you'll start to get these notifications about our upcoming meetings and other things that the commission is involved with.
And the Commissioner Dargan, one other, just for clarification, the agenda for the next Ethics Commission meeting, to my knowledge, has not been prepared or released. So while this may be on the agenda, it may not be since it hasn't yet been set. So I just wanted to make sure people are clear on that. And our subcommittee is just a subcommittee. We're not the Ethics Commission, and we're not setting the Ethics Commission agenda today. And we haven't yet determined when we're, as a subcommittee, submitting any recommendation for consideration by the Ethics Commission. It may be for the April meeting, it may not be. So just for clarification. All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes our special meeting on Wednesday, March 23, 2022 at 1:20 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
The goodbye.